Good evening and welcome to this meeting of Rydale District Council's Planning Committee. We're not expecting a fire alarm this evening, so if it does sound, it is for real. Please leave the building by the rear doors or the door to my right and congregate in the top car park. Ladies and gents, toilets are in the corridor along with water. Please can you ensure your mobile phones are switched off or on silent. We do have a number of speakers this evening. Each speaker will have 3 minutes, and I will give an audible warning when there are 30 seconds left. Do all members have a copy of the agenda papers? Okay, moving on to the agenda. Item 11, the North Yorkshire Highways Depot, Manorvale, Kirby Moorside. Deferral has been requested due to rather complicated surface water issues and a further response from the lead local flood authority. And therefore proposing to defer this item. Are we all happy with this? Lovely, thank you. Well, we'll defer that item. Thank you. So, agenda item one, apologies for absence. Have we received any apologies?
No apologies have been received.
Thank you. I am aware that Councillor Paul Andrews is running slightly late. Agenda item two, declarations of interest. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, item 14. I am friends with the applicants. I don't think it's appropriate that I sit in on this one, so I'll excuse myself for this agenda item.
Thank you. Any other declarations? Councillor Hope.
Yeah, sorry, Chairman, I couldn't see you for the screen.
No.
Item 10, I've been lobbied. Personal and non-prejudicial.
Thank you. I'll declare an interest on item 12, personal, non-prejudicial, non-pecuniary interest, as I have been lobbied. Any further? No? Lovely. Agenda item 3, the minutes of the meeting held on the 13th of February 2018. Do you agree that these are a correct record? Councillor Shields has moved them and I will second them. So I'll put that to the vote. Those are approved. Agenda item 4, urgent business. I have no urgent business. Agenda item 5 is schedule of items to be determined by committee. Agenda item 6 is application land south of Firthland Road, Pickering. Rachel.
Thank you, Chair. This is a major application and it is a site that is not identified as an allocation in the emerging plan. There are other applications under consideration at Pickering at the moment and it is felt that the site inspection allows members to conduct both site inspection on and off in advance of it coming before members of Planning Committee at a later date. Thank you.
Thank you. So I will move that we undertake a site visit. Do I have a seconder for that? Councillor Mrs. Shields, can I put that to the vote then, please? That's unanimous. The site visit will be held. We'll discuss the details a little later on in the agenda. Agenda item 7, application at Leet House, 71 Wellham Road, Norton.
Thank you, Chairman. The only reason this application is actually before you is, as you'll see, it's a revised scheme to an earlier permission for subdivision of the former Yorkshire housing offices in Norton to residential apartments. And the previous scheme was for 9 units and was dealt with under delegated powers, but because this revised scheme is for 10, it comes to committee because it's now a major application. There is nothing really to add to the report, Chairman, which you'll see we're recommending approval. I do, however, have some photos if members who aren't familiar with the site would wish to see them.
Yes,
okay. Right. Is that the first one? Right, thank you, Rachel. This is the view of Leet House taken from the rear garden of the site. And as you can see, it's quite an imposing building. As you can see, there's already works ongoing under the guise of the existing planning permission and listed building consent. This is a view to the side and rear of the property. So you can see it's a substantial building that's been altered organically over the years, but very much a mix and match of window styles and designs. And that's just a view showing the side elevation of the property from within the curtilage. This is the view that probably most of you will have seen from Wellham Road. So that's the vertical tile hung structure, which is now covered in scaffolding. This is a view from the adjacent public highway to the south. This is a view from within the curtilage, same orientation, but from within the site. And that's a view from Wellham Road looking heading south as if you're heading out of town. This is a view again from the rear garden looking towards properties to the rear. And this is a view from the same standpoint looking in the opposite direction. So again, you can see the more typical 30s and 50s properties in Wellham Road. And that's a view from within the building, just to give you an idea of how sometimes these rather imposing buildings are somewhat thrown together within their roof spaces. I think they just decided to stop building the walls and put rafters and purlins on, Chairman. Nothing else to add, Chairman. It's a minor revision, but it's before you because it's a major application.
Are there any questions for the officer? Councillor Mrs. Shields.
The naming of this, it is officially in Beechwood Road, isn't it? I mean, it is on the corner, but its address presumably is going to be Beechwood and not Wellham Road.
I haven't actually got that information before me tonight, Chairman. I mean, Leet House address is 71 Wellham Road. Whether yes. When the renumbering is done, they will come to us with Beech
Drive
numbering. I don't know yet.
Right, okay. Thank you.
Any further questions? We shall move into the debate. Councillor Shields as a ward member.
Thank you. Chairman. This building is a very interesting one, certainly, because the word Leet is a late medieval word meaning a court. So whilst somewhere it tells us it was originally just a house, I think it was a bit more than that, and they probably had some sort of jurisdiction going on in that particular building. And of course, as Gary has mentioned us earlier, in 1991, Rydal Housing Association, when we changed our housing, lost our housing to the association, it was the headquarters of the association for several years, which was very handy and very convenient for a lot of Rydal people. Of course, as the association grew larger, it has moved further and further away, sadly, but it did have that residence there for some little while before it went back, and there was a hotel and then housing again and so on. But it's been empty a long while, and I think most people would be very happy to see that in fact it'll go and become now something of apartments which people can enjoy, and we're short of them down that particular area. I was a little concerned initially when I read on page 15 about the comments from our conservation officer. It's Emma as I'm talking about, isn't it? The Cordial Conservation, I heard her as an environmental. I mean, the two words mean the same thing, but I didn't know which of the title had changed. At the bottom there, she expresses concern, particularly about the extra building, you know, number 10, has come in. This is this extra one on the end. But on the other hand, if you go on further, she seems to have had a response which has settled her ideas, and she's quite willing to accept what they have proposed. I can't see any reason for refusing this. In fact, the sooner they get on with it and get it made into a really nice building, it'll certainly improve that section, both on Beechwood and of the Wellham Road. So quite happy to move approval, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Cleary.
I'm very happy to second.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
He beat me. I would have been happy to second this. This building's been out of commission for some time. I think it's a good development that brings a very useful high-grade building back into domestic use, and I'm all for it, so let's get on and let's let them get the conversion finished.
Councillor Andrews. Sorry, I thought you indicated to speak. Big pardon. Okay, it has been moved and seconded, so I'll put that to the vote, please. That's unanimous. The application has been approved. Moving on to agenda item 8, application at Land Off Ruffer Lane, Pickering, pages 50 to 97 on your agenda.
Thank you. This is a residential development of up to 11 dwellings with associated access and all other matters reserved. I have no further information to add to the report, and the reasons for refusal are accordingly remain as written. I've got some photos if members would like to have a look at them. Thank you. This is the entrance from, in effect, the top of Ruffer Lane and the junction with Whitfield Avenue, looking eastwards into Ruffer Lane. And again, this is further along Ruffer Lane. I've included this photograph so you can get a sense of the difference in the height. And again, this is slightly further along, showing how very rural the aspect is of the site. And this is a little bit further east again. This is the junction with Ruffer Lane and Plumtreendale Lane, which is actually very much just an incised track up on the eastern side of the site. And again, this is looking westwards towards Pickering. It is evident that it's actually very hard to realise that you are so close to Pickering. And again, just to illustrate again the point that, yes, it's a very rural aspect. And this is, again, looking forward. I put that photograph in to try to demonstrate the levels in relation to the existing bungalow that's on the site. And by the time you are moving up northwards into the site, the levels become quite similar. And that's included to demonstrate the variations in the topography within the site. And in terms of the retaining wall, its height would vary across the site. Thank you. Any questions?
Do you have any questions for the officer? No. I will move into debate then. And Councillor Joy Andrews.
Thank you. We had this recently with more houses wanting to develop on it, and I think I said at the time it wasn't just the actual site itself. I know the highways had issues with the access as well, but it was the view from the A170 coming into the east of the town. When you look from there, they would stand out very much so. And although the development is a singular line now rather than going up the field, I think the officers have got this one right, and I would recommend refusal also. Thank you.
Does anybody? Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. Surprised it's back on the table, actually. I thought we were very clear before that we didn't want this development to take place for all the reasons that we've got: topography, access. It's outside the development of its, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't meet the necessary criteria for development, and it shouldn't be here. So I support Councillor Andrews' proposal to refuse.
Anybody else wishing to speak? No, it has been moved and seconded for refusal, so I shall put that to the vote. That's refused. Agenda item 9, application at land at Rainbow Lane, Malton, pages 98 to 142 on your agenda.
Thank you, Chairman. Just waiting for Rachel to vacate. Yes, thank you, Chairman, and just draw members' attention to the late page report, which was the appraisal and recommendation section. Unfortunately, we had to go about it this way, Chairman, because we were still taking on board information relating to matters relating to noise and also highway considerations. And on the latter point, we actually only finally received a clearance from highways yesterday. So in that sense, this application is a reserved matters approval application, as you've seen, following on from the earlier outline planning permission, which actually contains many planning conditions, some of them relating to highway discharge conditions, which still remains to be done. But in essence, the Highway Authority are happy with the proposed revised site entrance and access arrangements from Rainbow Lane. So that's an update there, Chairman. In terms of the site itself, it was one of the four sites that members who are on the committee going back to 2014 now, was one of four sites that was granted planning permission in Malton area, associated with the Eden Camp development, the Pasture Lane Showfield site, and also the former depot site in Old Malton. So this was one of those four sites, and all of them were interlinked in the sense of a very intricate Section 106 agreement, which resulted in essentially this site being proposed and granted planning permission for affordable housing for circa 50 units at the time. And those members on committee will recall that even at that time, the issue of noise from the A64 was a particular consideration. And although only access was proposed at that point in time, an illustrative layout which was based largely around a flatted scheme, which created a barrier to the A64 together with embankments for development to occur behind, just to demonstrate that the site could develop residentially in an acceptable manner. The subsequent development that's actually come forward is not that flatted barrier scheme next to the A64. It still does involve a substantial earth bund and noise acoustic screen, which you'll have seen on the application papers. And that really, Chairman, is to give effect to what is a required standard of amenity to the future residents of the dwellings. But it has given rise to an issue that the original outline planning permission was seeking certain levels of noise for rear gardens and certain levels of noise for bedrooms. And the modelling showed that potentially some of the units were not compliant with that outline condition. And we're in a noise barrier, or a noise band rather, that went from 50 to potentially up to 55 dBA. You'll have seen from the late pages, Chairman, that we've had further modelling done. And aside from one reading at one point on the site, all of the dwellings are at for garden areas at 52 dBA or below. And in fact, most of them still are at the previously approved level. Now, the environmental health specialists have pointed that out to us, but clearly the discernible difference between 1 and 2 dBA at 50 dBA is probably not audible to the human ear, and certainly that's the point that the applicant's agent and expert has made. I'm aware that we've got a speaker tonight, Chairman, so I'm not going to steal too much of his thunder on that particular point. But it certainly has resulted in a lot of work being done on the whole issue of noise amenity. Partly that's because I think when the bypass was first put in, it didn't have any noise barriers to it. You know, when the bypass was built in 1979, this part of the site, which, as you'll see from the photographs in a moment, the roadway of the A64 is slightly elevated above certain parts of the site. And the site then raises from north to south. So the noise naturally, sort of, it's almost like an amphitheatre. In that sense, the proposal with its acoustic screening does actually improve things for the current lot of people who live in Dickens Road and on Petey Hills, because it's providing the barrier. and also interceding development. So that's certainly a benefit of the scheme that's come about. You'll have noted from the responses in the report, Chairman, that we've had relatively few responses from third parties in the context of a scheme of this size. We've had four comments from local residents, some of which are dealing with matters of principle, making reference to traffic and doctor surgeries and dentists and things of that nature, which really are not for consideration now dealing with this reserved matters application. But other issues relating to matters of boundary treatments, for example, still remain to be dealt with, particularly on the rear curtilages of Dickens Road. So I think we need to still address that, because it's as you'll see in a moment, the boundaries do differ as you go along that particular boundary. But I'll show some photographs at this point, Chairman, because I think that would be helpful. So this is the view as you're approaching the site going down Rainbow Lane. So this is the children's play area on Rainbow Lane. The first of the properties, I would say Dickens Road, but actually these few here are actually on Rainbow Lane. And there's a junction here which turns off into the Pease Hills development and Hawthorne Avenue. As you get nearer to the Dickens Road junction, you can see on the right-hand side some existing property and flats which actually belong to Yorkshire Housing currently. And in the distance, that is where the entrance to the site actually is achieved, off the end of Rainbow Lane. Also at this point, you can see the overhead lines going across the site here. There is effectively no development in that part of the site. Having said that, it never ceases to amaze me that these lines go through Dickens Road and are within inches of dwellings at that point, but clearly that's a development built many years ago. So this is close to the point of the entrance to the site. As you can see, the sort of widened part of the carriageway finishes here, and this is where the road bends off, goes behind the hedgerow and heads off down towards the Rainbow Veterinary Surgery, and the access to the site is in here. Just in the background there, actually, you can see one of the veterinary surgery buildings. Panning across, again, you get a view of the overhead lines, part of the veterinary surgery, and this is the last of the flats at the top of that part of Rainbow Lane. This point here is looking on the northern boundary of the site, and this point here, these pegs here, are where the access road comes in. So the access road comes into the site here, and you can see the site falls away to the north towards the trunk road there. And this is the backs of the existing properties on Dickens Road. This is panning across the site, and the reason I took this one was really just to give you an idea that you can just pick out that the road is slightly elevated above the site at this point. There is existing screening adjacent to the A64 here, rather more sporadic at that point, but you can see the height of the trees that were planted presumably in 1979 when the road was built. As you head further eastwards, the screening is more complete, so it's quite variable. Along this point here, the earth bank and the noise acoustic fencing will sit within the site. So that's just to give you a better idea of the rear boundaries along the backs of Dickens Road, which are quite variable. So again, some people have put their own fence up. I think this is the actual boundary here. This is going back down Rainbow Lane, so you get a feeling of the site dropping away. The access is back here. So this is the screening underneath the overhead lines. I took this view from the bridge going over the A64 because I thought it was a good view to give you some context. So those last photographs were taken from up here, and Rainbow Lane comes down here, bends and comes off and leads to this, or you go off to Old Malton or over the railway, over the A64 here. It gives you an idea, however, of the amount of screening that's adjacent to the A64 current, and the earth bank and acoustic screen will be behind that in this area here, and you can see that Dickens Road properties fall sort of down the slope as they currently go, quite close to the A64 themselves. This particular view is taken from the roadway, but it's a public right-of-way which runs parallel with the A64 further to the north, and it actually links up to the next bridge over, which goes to Outgang Lane. And at this point here, in gaps in hedgerows, you can see the skyline profile of buildings on Dickens Road. The site buildings will actually be set at a lower level than this because they're coming down the hill. So at certain points you might catch glimpses of the roof lines, perhaps more than anything else. So that's it, Chairman. I haven't got anything else to report at this stage other than to recommend approval, Chairman. This particular scheme is a significant submission in terms of meeting our affordable housing targets.
Thank you. We do have a speaker, which is the agent, Paul Balesford.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak in support of this application. I'm Paul Brailsford, partner at Freith Solicitors and agent for this application. I act on behalf of Broadacres Housing Association, a registered provider of affordable homes with a stock of over 6,000 properties, of which 120 are in Rydale. Members of this committee may recall that the site at Peasey Hills already benefits from an outline planning permission for circa 50 affordable homes, which was approved in 2015 as part of a package of applications including residential development at the Schofield site, Moulton, Coronation Farm, Old Moulton, along with commercial development at Eden Camp. As part of the associated Section 106 agreement for those applications, the Peasey Hills site was required to be transferred to a registered provider of affordable housing. Fitzwilliam Trust Corporation, the landowner, and Broadacres are in the final stages of that transfer, and if this reserve matters, if these reserve matters are approved this evening, work on site could start within a matter of weeks. We welcome the officer's recommendation for approval, and that reflects a lot of hard work by both your officers and the Broadacres design team. The design development process has not been straightforward with this site, presenting a number of challenges in terms of topography and proximity to the A64. That being said, an acceptable layout has been achieved, which provides for 56 new affordable homes with a mix of house types and sizes that is fully supported by this council's housing department. Whilst, as Gary has outlined, there are some minor exceedances of previously stipulated noise levels in back gardens, that only applies to a small number of the properties closest to the A64, and the council's environmental health officer is content that those exceedances will not be material to residents' quality of life, and in effect the level of exceedance is unlikely to be discernible to the human ear. I appreciate that the town council have raised concerns regarding design, which is a subjective issue. However, the Broadacres design team have worked hard on this point, incorporating local details such as fascia boards, soffits and overhanging eaves, and have sought to provide visual interest with the use of red-facing brick with black panels.
30 seconds left.
The design has evolved with the full support of your officers. Ultimately, this is an important scheme for Broadacres and an important scheme for Rydale, in that it will provide 56 new affordable homes against the background of under-provision in Rydale in recent years. The officer's report is thorough and comprehensive, and we hope that members will approve the reserve matters so that work on site can begin. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? No? Okay, we shall move. Yes, Corsican Council Hope.
The entrance and exits, is it going to be on Rainbow Lane, or are you going to use Peasey Hill? You can get out now at the top of Peasey Hill, can't you?
The proposed exit and entrance into the site is via Rainbow Lane.
Yeah. And is there any widening of that going to take place or not?
Well, the proposed entrance into the site is essentially, as soon as you get into the site, is a carriageway with 2-footway width, only as far as it needs to be, and then it breaks down into a more subordinate carriageway with, at the moment, it's showing a brick weave service with one footpath and 2 private driveways, I think. But in terms of off-site, I would envisage that most of the traffic will come up to
and the junction with Pasture Lane. That will be the way in and out.
Are there any further questions? No. We shall move into debate. Unfortunately, the ward member isn't here. Does anybody wish to take this one at all? Councillor Mrs. Shields?
Well, I'll just say this is a very large piece of land which has long wanted some sort of dwellings on it. When I think of other pieces of land on the other side of the river where we could have done without the building in some cases, smaller legend, this one really is an excellent one, particularly in terms of affordable housing. And I think since there seems to be no reason now that the reserve matters are being sorted, why we should not actually go forth and approve it. And it would be good to get them going soon, because they might be able to get things completed so that a lot of people will be in by the autumn. So I would like to move approval, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Maud.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm happy to support this. We have a Broad Acres development in Rillington, and everyone seems to be quite pleased with that. If the same standards apply, I'm very pleased to second this. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? No. Lovely. It has been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote. That's application has been approved. We shall move on to agenda item 10, which is application at the Bay Horse in Main Street, Terrington. We do have a speaker, but I'll get Gary to outline the application. I'm afraid not, no. On which application? No, I'm afraid not. You didn't register to speak, sir, so I'm very sorry you can't.
So it's already been passed?
Yes, it has, yeah. As it said in the application, that there is going to be noise attenuation measures put into place. I'm afraid you can't say any more. So if you'd like to give us your name, your details, I'm quite happy to speak to you either tomorrow or at a later date. But I'm afraid you can't speak now on the application. It's already been approved. Well, a site notice has been put up, and you have had the ability to register to speak this evening, and I'm afraid that opportunity has been passed.
So are you going to start building?
I believe that will be the case, yes, sir.
What about
the animal hospital? You still be able to get to that, and I don't see that it'll have any concerns for that application. I'm really not going to enter into any more debate with you, and I'm going to move on to the next item. Thank you. Moving on to agenda item 10, as I said previously, application at Bay Horse in Main Street, Terrington.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm conscious that we've got another speaker, so I'll keep this brief. I think that's how it looks now. rather sad. In fact, the Bay Horse Public House has been closed for some years. I'm not sure how long. I think shortly when I arrived in Rydell in 2002, I went and had a meal here, and it shut about 3 weeks afterwards, I think. But there you go. So obviously, Terrington, a substantial village in the AOMB, quite a number of facilities, and in the middle of it a pub which has been closed for a considerable period of time. You'll have seen from the planning officer's report that we've already granted listed building consent for a number of alterations to the public house itself, including mainly internal alterations, and those have been approved under officer delegated powers. The reason the planning application is before you tonight, Chairman, is because of what's been proposed at the rear of the premises. And that partly relates to the business model that's been put forward by the current applicant, which is to utilise not just the ground floor of the premises for public house and food and the like, but to utilise the upper floor for letting accommodation within the AOMB. Well, of course, a lot of that would have been where the landlord or owner previously would have resided. And in response to that, the application is proposing a single bed manager's unit at the rear of the property, which is accessed off the back lane. And it's that part of the application that's given rise to some concerns locally, which the report deals with, Chairman. What I'd like to do is just quickly show you through the photographs at the back of the site. And this is, not the best photograph to show you first, Chairman, but this is the southern boundary of the site. And this is the existing storage building that the report refers to that is demolished to make way for the new manager's accommodation. This garage building is actually within the garden of the bungalow, which is immediately to the south of that. So you can see that it's largely screened from the neighbouring bungalow by the existing garage. And then further to the west is another relatively new property, which is on a higher level, which overlooks the site. So this is a view looking backwards towards the back of the property. And as you can see, the building that I was just showing the photograph of, the first photograph, is there. So there's quite a collection of relatively unspectacular additions to the back of this public house, which you can't really see from the public vantage point. And to the rear of that is an area which was garden leading to parking area with the access out onto the back lane. So this is the view looking back the other way. So that's that other house I was showing you at a higher level. And this planting here is referred to in the report as the three trees. They are particularly poor specimens, so we're not worried about their removal at all. Stop laughing. Our tree expert's smiling to himself in the corner there. This is a closer view of the sort of calibre of what we're dealing with. And this is the storage building that would be removed at the southern end of the site. And that's the bungalow behind it. So again, this gives you a slightly better indication. The manager's accommodation would sit in this area here. So we're demolishing this, building the single-storey building here, which abuts the neighbour's garage. And this is just the back garden of the neighbour. It's got a very small curtilage, as you can see. And as you pan round, this is the back of this is the access into the car park, which comes past the neighbouring property, and it accesses onto back lane. That's how it's always accessed. And this is a photograph from the back lane. So the access into the car park is through here. It's all quite overgrown at the moment, but that's how it is. And it's one of those on balance decisions, Chairman. We think clearly the benefits significantly outweigh the concerns that have been raised with us.
Thank you. We do have a speaker, which is the applicant, Andrew Whitney.
Thank you very much for letting me speak. Samantha did tell me I had 33 minutes, so I'm going to try and make it as short as I can. We have the Bay Horse in Terrington was repossessed in January 2012. It has been an eyesore. It's been a mix mash of a Thai restaurant, a public house. It was owned by a publican that went into the paper and said, this is a fantastic pub if I didn't have the locals that we've got. It desperately needs a makeover. As Gary said, it's unspectacular, so I need to lose the un. My business partner and I have a very successful restaurant in York called the Whippet Inn. The Bay Horse in Terrington will become the Whippet in Terrington. Currently, the Whippet Inn in York is the best restaurant, has been for 4 years. So I do hope that none of the history of the Bay Horse will carry forward once we've renovated and and completed the works that we want to. The reason why the business has gone bust so many times, it's been repossessed, it's gone broke, somebody disappeared, is that it's a very small bar space. It's a difficult business to operate. It's a difficult car park to get into. We've owned it now for 3 years, and the amount of work that's been done by I'm hoping this gets recorded. I can put it on record. The chap Rob Thicket, who is our architect, the plans that have gone backward and forward on how we can maximise the space and take full advantage. Those plans have been brilliant, and we finally decided on something that we presented to your planning officers. And all I want to do is to finish is really thank everybody that's been involved, because listed building absolutely bought in, even though we were knocking... I don't want to get beeped out. Even though we were knocking walls, we were doing considerable impact to the building, they've recommended because they can see the benefit. Building control, building the planners, everyone's really bought into it. So hopefully you'll follow, take the recommendation of the approval, and we can get it open again and hopefully develop something that's pretty spectacular. Thanks again. 33 minutes, good. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Do we have any questions for the officer? No, we'll move into debate then. And Councillor Mrs. Goodrick, would you like to take this on?
Thank you, Chairman. I've read through the papers. It is undoubtedly very much in need of a makeover, this building. It's been closed for some considerable time. 33 years ago, I had my first date there with my husband, so that will tell you how much I know about the pub. So there you go. I'm very pleased to see that we have tied the building for the manager's accommodation to the pub. It should not be sold separately. It is a conservation village. It is a local occupancy clauses on property that's in that village, so I think it's absolutely right that we tie that very specifically to the public house. I will be very pleased to see this come back into good public use, and I've been waiting for it for a long time. So thank you very much. I'm happy to support the proposal.
Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, my memories of the place aren't quite as happy as my colleagues. However, I would suggest that while the recent history has been somewhat checkered, it has a long and valued history in the village and locality. I won't add much more to my colleague. I'm very happy to support this. The proposal is modest, entirely subordinate to the property, and the overall plan, and in addition to the existing plan, can only improve the amenity for everybody in the locality. I will support this.
Councillor Hope.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. That's what you get with coming third. Everybody said what I was going to say. Not to usurp them, but I was born in Terrington, and I spent many a happy hour in Terrington pub, and not being thrown out. I'm very pleased to support this. No, I was a good lad. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mrs. Shields.
Thank you. I think just a word of warning about naming. Clearly, with great success in York, that's fine. But it happened in Westow many years ago that the Blacksmith's Arms was going down, and I forget who it was, took it over, and they changed the name entirely and called it the Something Inn. And it hadn't been very good before, but it got a lot worse. People didn't go there. It felt not quite right going to an inn when it was really a proper pub. And it took about 5 or 6 years before they gave up. And somebody came in and went back to the Blacksmith's Arms. And you should all go there now, because they've got an excellent restaurant, very good food, as well as a very good pub. So I just say, be careful. I hope you're successful, but, you know, names that have been there a long time often, you know, are more popular than anything else, and people want to hang on to them. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Councillor Andrews.
Thank you. I never went to that pub when it was open, but I have been to the Whippet Inn in York, and it's fantastic, and so I'd probably go if it was the Whippet Inn too. And I'm happy to...
Lovely. It has been moved and seconded, so I'll put that to the vote. That is unanimous. The application has been approved. Agenda item 11 has been deferred as previously discussed, so we'll go on to agenda item 12, which is application at 24 Castlegate, Kirby Moorside.
Thank you, Chairman. I think members have all been supplied with a copy of a letter that we received earlier today, I think it was. It's very brief, but sadly the owners who couldn't make the committee tonight, so I think it was their way of sort of speaking to members in advance of consideration of the application. The reason the application is on the committee tonight is because of an objection from the immediate neighbour. And I'll show you some photographs in a few moments just to try and explain to you as best I can the particular impact. This is probably what you will all think of as Castlegate, Kirby Moorside. This is a view from the sort of north end of Castlegate looking back towards the town. And so town centre's off in this direction. As you'll appreciate, there's a general uphill direction as you head north. And as you can see, it's very Kirby Moorside, as you'd imagine it. Stone, brick, mix of styles, mix of scales of buildings, all very traditional. And part and parcel of the Article 4 direction area. So not just in the conservation area, but an area where we can control things like windows and doors and things of that nature. I'll just draw attention to these three properties here, because along with others further down, they're very, very modest in scale, and probably as originally built were only like a room's width with a very small utility on the rear. And this particular property here, in this area here, this is the application site. I think originally it was owned by the occupier of this property too, but has been sold off, and currently the owners use it as a holiday cottage, but as you've seen from the letter that you've been supplied with, they're intending to move to Kirby. The property with the white door and the small dormer here is the one that's physically attached to that, and that's the occupier who's objected to the proposed extension. So there you go, front view, traditional Kirby Moorside. Are you ready? That's the back. And that's what they look like at the back. And this is the property, this is the application site here. I'm standing actually on a raised ground, an area of raised ground, because the ground levels go up as you go to the rear, all the way along the line. This is the next door property at number 26, which, in addition to having flat-roofed extensions all the way along, this particular one extends further to the rear. And this is a view from within the curtilage of the application site, so it gives you an indication of the flat-roofed extensions and an extension to the extension, in effect. I'm almost holding my arms out to the length of that extension. So everything's very, very small scale, but nevertheless quite substantial in terms of potential impacts. You can't see any of this from any public vantage point. It's just totally screened. We actually had to get the keys off the neighbour to get in to take these photographs. This is a view further south, and this is the neighbouring property here, which you'll see has got it's a bigger property, so it's got a cat slide roof extension, but the reason I'll point that out to you is that that lean-to extension, which is also first floor, projects as far as the one to the north. It's very difficult to photograph it, but if you drew a line across, they're almost in a line. So number 22 and 24 are extended to the rear with a flat roof, but not as far as the others. So they set back a bit, about 2.2 metres. So this is a view from the garden of this property here, which goes round the back, again at higher level, giving you more of an indication of that lean-to, which has got a pale-coloured rendered wall to the south of the neighbour. This one's, I'll call it stone, but it's a bit like crazy paving stone, really. And this is the rear of both the application site and the neighbour, the property occupied by the neighbour who's raised an objection to the scheme. It is to the south of the proposed extension. And you can see at this point here, there are retaining walls and also a fence at relatively high level. So that's there now. This is stood almost on the back wall of the property. I took this just to give you an indication of how that affects the existing property. So although it's quite light, you're aware of it, but it's on the north side, so it doesn't have a sunlighting impact. It has a daylighting impact, which is not as significant. Looking back the other way, you get an indication of the shadowing of extension on the south side, which is the other side. The proposed extension would come out as far as that line, yeah, that two-storey level right on the boundary. I took this one just to really give you an indication of how that property relates to the extension the other side. So it's all very cheek by jowl. It's difficult to take photographs that can really show you what's what. There will be an impact on the neighbour, Chairman. Although I don't think there's any doubt about that, but it's a question of the balance of that impact and in the context of what's come forward now. The two-storey extension that's proposed would come to this line and the lean-to about to here, and they are also proposing to excavate a small section of the garden area as well to make that more usable. It's a balanced decision, Chairman, but I think the balance weighs in favour of the planning application. And I'm happy to take any questions. I hope the photographs have given you an indication of what it's like, because if you went to the site to see it, you wouldn't see it.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Gary, I wonder, could you just re-emphasise how very short the current extension is? And we've seen the photograph, but if you could... Yes. There was a photograph of it, and if you could just sort of, you said it was very shallow, but if you could demonstrate, you know, the length of that table, I suspect, not even that. That one, yeah, there you go. Keep going. That's the one. Yeah. It's about that screen. Yeah. Thank you.
The smallness of the properties. And if you were starting afresh, you wouldn't extend them like that now, but it's just the way that they have been extended.
I think putting it into Imperial, it's 7 foot, isn't it? 2.2. Yeah.
Councillor Windrus.
Can you just show us, can you mark it on there, if at all possible, how far this extension that's proposed will come out?
The two-storey bit will come to there.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of a lean-to.
Right, that's all right, yeah.
Are there any further questions? No? Okay, we shall move into debate. We don't have the local ward member here. Does anybody wish to take this one? Councillor Windrus.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yeah, going by what Gary says, because that the neighbour that's objecting to the south, it isn't going to make... It will have an impact, but like Gary says, it won't take away... sunlight, so I must have got that at that side of it. I can't see that there's a problem, and so I'll just move approval. Thank you.
Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, it is a decision to be made on balance, and I think it's a useful reminder of why these things come to us rather than delegated authority. I think given the shallowness of the extension and the fact that the aspect is a north-like situation, I will support this and I'll second the proposal.
Anybody else wish to speak? No. The application has been moved and seconded for approval, so I shall put that to the vote. Has been unanimously approved. Agenda item 13, application at land off the Chase, Norton.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I think, just correct myself now, Chairman. Just checking the late pages. I'm sure there was a letter in the late pages from the Highway Authority. Yes, Chairman. On page 29 onwards on the late pages, there was a late response from the Highway Authority to an amended plan which was showing effectively a pedestrian splay onto the Chase so that there was adequate intervisibility for cars and pedestrians. So that was a point to pick up on. This particular application is before you because through the consultation process we did receive an objection from Norton Town Council, which was to essentially a judgment call that the proposal was resulting in what they perceived to be an overdevelopment of the site, Chairman. I've lost my plans, Chairman. The application site. It does tend to do this every now and then, Chairman. The application site, this is the Chase in front of us here, which is accessed off Langton Road, just behind where the picture was taken. And this property is number three. And you'll see that number three, along with others in the street, is actually situated sideways onto the road, so it doesn't aspect front rear. So in terms of its front and rear garden, this is its current rear garden in that area there, driveway and a garage, and the other side of it is essentially the front garden, although they're both to the side. And in fact the front garden is, I've got some more photographs in a moment, is behind a 6 foot high beech hedge. So both the front and the back garden are private garden spaces. To the rear of this, you can't really see it all that well, but there are other properties which are single storey, so there are no sort of particular issues with overlooking arising from the development. This is a view from the last property in the road before you get to Langton Road, so it's giving you a feel of the nature of the development in the locality. The buildings are quite well spaced currently. And this is a view back the other way. So that's the beech hedge I was just talking about. And you see a sort of chap about 6 foot high here. And the proposed bungalow would go in that area there. You can see this property, which actually also was built at the same time of the estate, actually fronts onto Langton Road. So there's quite a significant gap between the two. And its garaging is the other part of the other half of the double garage. The plans that you've got on your agenda papers, Chairman, do show that the existing property, even with the loss of this element of its current rear garden, has still got a significant area of private amenity space, both in its front side garden and its rear garden, and this does provide for a small two-bedroom, single-storey unit of accommodation. And it's those sorts of small, single-storey units that we've struggled to provide over the years. It does have a very limited curtilage, and I think the Town Council's comments can be understood in that sense. But we are making a balanced recommendation that, subject to the conditions listed, which also include permitted development rights being removed, that this might give us the opportunity to provide a small unit of accommodation within the principal town. So it is a balanced recommendation, Chairman, but we are recommending approval.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? No questions, so we shall move into debate. Councillor Mrs. Shields.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Usually can agree with the Town Council, and I do think it's important we all, as you know, should have a look at whatever they say to see if they really have good reasons for or against something before having to perhaps vote against them. I understand a bit about the overdevelopment or the thought of it, but they are quite large spaces. And it seems to me this is no worse than some of the backland development that we many years ago were so against, but because of the necessity, I think, over the years to find more accommodation for more people, then you're looking at something which is quite small, will be useful for accommodation, and will solve a problem from a family somewhere. So I think on the whole, I have to disagree with my town council, but approve this, because I don't think it'll be as bad as they think. There is a very limited amenity space for the new build, but nevertheless, if somebody is willing not to have a whole lot of garden space, well then, a lot of people don't like gardens, unbelievably, but they don't. So, therefore, I think, it's worth this going through. And I'm therefore quite happy to approve it, Chairman.
Thank you. Does anybody else wish to speak on the application? Councillor Goodrick.
I'll second it. I think it is a very small development of a much-needed bungalow-type accommodation for, in particular, some of our elderly residents who, as Councillor Shields says, may not wish to have a garden, may not be able to cope with a garden, so I've got no problem with this.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? No, the application has been moved and seconded for approval, so I shall put that to the vote. That has unanimously been approved. Moving on to agenda item 14, application at outbuilding at Water Meadows Hall Drive, Sandhutton. We do have a speaker, but I'll get Gary to outline the application first.
Thank you, Chairman. As you'll have noted, there's also further correspondence, I think, on the end of the late pages as well, Chairman, from the applicants, from the objector's agent and also from the objector. But the objector's here tonight, so I think rather than me speak on behalf of the objector, I'll let the objector pitch in in the sort of speaking slot. What I thought would be helpful, having said that, is to just give you an idea of how the site sits with some photographs of this part of the village, because it is sort of slightly off the beaten track, Chairman. You wouldn't drive past it going through the main village street. So this view is of the front of the building that is proposed to be converted and extended as part of the application. As you can see, it's a substantial building. It's certainly masonry construction with a sort of clad roof structure. And as I show you the photographs, you'll see there are other additions that are proposed to be removed as part of the scheme to extend it. So this is the what I would call the front elevation of the building as you're looking at it from within the site. This is a view looking along the front of the building, and you can see in the background there a view of High Field, which is the immediately adjacent property, which you'll see views of as I go through the photographs. So you see it's sort of substantial construction. I'm not sure of the age of it, Chairman, but it is certainly a robust building in this part of the building. Right. This is a view back towards Water Meadows. So this is the main existing building on the plot at the moment. So this is heading back sort of southeastwards from the building I was just showing you. And this is a view back down the access way out towards the entrance to the site. And again, that's the sort of adjacent building in the foreground. And that's a close-up of the access point. This is a view looking back into the site. This is the front of the building. And again, you can see it's in a substantial plot. I mean, the existing dwelling is in a very large plot, so I don't think plot size is a particular issue. This is a view from the other end of the building. You can see that you've got a substantial masonry sort of wall on this end of the building here. This would be demolished, and an extension is proposed at this end of the building coming into this area here. And also you see a timber section here that's also removed and an extension added. That also comes down. At this point here, there's also a proposed additional carport structure, which sort of sits slightly to the side off shot. So whilst it's a substantial building, there are quite a number of additions being proposed to the building to make it part of the habitable dwelling. This is the other end of it. So again, you get a feel for the form of the construction, which is this sort of rather pale, sort of has the appearance of the old Norton bricks that you have. It's got a sort of buff sort of tone and colour to it. So this is a view into the back garden area. So again, substantial walled boundary. This is a view from the back boundary back towards the back of the timber addition to the building. Again, the neighbouring property in this area here. So substantial sort of garden, which at the moment is part of the extended garden of the main dwelling. And then another close-up of the shed that would be taken away. And this is a view right from the sort of northern extremity of the curtilage. So that's the immediately neighbouring property, and it actually goes behind other properties in the drive. So it's quite a large area of curtilage. That's it, Chairman. I think the issue here, Chairman, well, obviously the speakers will speak, but is really whether or not the proposal meets your policy in relation to the conversion of buildings in the countryside. To confirm that the development limit for the village ends where the Highfields boundary is, so technically this is in open countryside as far as the plan's concerned, even though it's immediately adjacent to the development limit, Chairman. But your policy does allow for conversions to buildings. Clearly, this isn't just conversion. There are additions to the building, and that's part of the planning balance, Chairman. We're recommending approval.
Thank you. We do have a speaker on this application, which is the objector, Neil Hamilton. Thank you. Would you like to come to the table? You'll have 3 minutes. I'll give you an audible warning at 30 seconds left. Lovely. The button in the middle. Thank you.
Okay. As acknowledged by the case officer, it's noted that this site does fall within the wider open countryside and outside village development limits as required by their ideal plan, local plan strategy. To comply with policy SP2, the building must be disused, traditional and lead to an enhancement. It's none of those things. The officer's report concedes that the building is already in use and not disused, as per the policy. She also refers to a limited increase in floor area. The two wooden additions to the brick-built structures already referred to significantly increase the existing structure's footprint by 47%. The proposed dwelling is larger still, with another 14% added to the total curtilage. Brick built is currently 133 metres. The wooden extensions take it to 195. Overall, it goes to 221 square metres. Proposed building is therefore 66% larger than the original outbuilding. The average new build property in North Yorkshire is 84 metres squared. This is 221 metres squared, over twice as large. Policy also sets out there must be an enhancement to the existing area. This test has not been passed, and the officer merely states there would be no harm caused by approving the application. The test has not been met. Traditional is commonly understood to be a pre-1919 building. With regard to traditional here, though, the officer advised that the building is in brick with timber posts, which makes it traditional. The officer comments that the intent of the policy is to prevent low-quality, poorly constructed buildings from being converted. If this argument is accepted by members, what stops anybody applying for a garage or store in their garden, designing it to look traditional using good-quality brick and timber posts, then claiming it's traditional and applying for a bungalow on the same local needs grounds as the applicant? I'll come to that shortly. The officer advises this decision would not be considered to mark a precedence, as every application is assessed on its own merits. Quite clearly, the approach in interpreting policy SP2 with regard to traditional buildings can and will be repeated, as it would be inconsistent to apply the policy differently elsewhere. This decision would mean that traditional means a new high-quality brick structure used for domestic garaging, and that enhancement can be neutral impact. The local need policy SB21 aspect. This is explicit that the condition should only be imposed for developments where their purpose has been justified. The application provides only superficial anecdotal evidence here and there's nothing at all definitive to support it. My concern with the officer's opinion, is that it applies an assessment as if it's policy, whereas it's actually judgment, i.e. it's opinion rather than fact. For example, she states that there is currently only one single-storey property for sale within Sandhutton. If and when the applicants wish to sell their property, there'd be very limited choice, and any property may not necessarily be suitable for their needs or requirements.
30 seconds left.
This is subjective judgment and supposition. It takes a snapshot at a single point in time of a very restrictive local area. Widening the search to only 3 miles from the postcode of the property, still local, gives 20 houses this type for sale, and 5 miles gives 40. Therefore, there's no lack of choice in the local area at all. Finally, the Highways Authority has consistently objected to further development off Hall Drive, and it's contrary to policy SP20. It's recommended the application be refused. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Chairman. I mean, clearly the reason why the application is before you tonight is because of the views that we've had received from the objector who's just spoken and his agent who's put forward a detailed letter that you've all got before you. I think in terms of interpretation of any policy that you have to make a judgment. That is the whole purpose of the Planning Committee, is that you are making a judgment. So to suggest that you somehow have a mechanistic application of policy is probably not one that I would share. At the end of the day, we have policies which are the start point for consideration of any of your planning decisions, but you do need to make a judgment on whether the policy is satisfied or not. In terms of the comment on traditional buildings, I've never in my 34, 35 years come across a time limit cut off as to what constitutes a traditional building being 1919 or 1899 or any other time. And certainly that issue of traditional buildings, or indeed the consideration of whether if a building's not redundant it shouldn't be applied a conversion policy, is something that inspectors have wrestled with on other appeal decisions and not concluded a view one way or the other. I think we still need to make a judgment call. In our judgment, you've seen the building there that I've shown you tonight, whilst there are extensions proposed to the building, our judgment is that actually it results in an enhancement to the building. Whilst technically the building is in open countryside the way we would define open countryside in our plan, it is a matter of fact that the plot and the building is immediately adjacent to the development limit. So I wouldn't suggest it is isolated development, but nevertheless it is in open countryside. That's a judgment call, again, that inspectors, when called to make decisions, and I think of a replacement dwelling that we dealt with at Scagglethorpe some years ago. It was technically in countryside, but the inspector concluded that it wasn't in wider open countryside because it was immediately adjacent to the built-up area, and concluded that his assessment on the approach to the size of the replacement dwelling was accordingly given less weight because it didn't have the added visual intrusion because it was so close to the village. So you have to make a judgment with all of these policies, Chairman. As with some of the decisions tonight, it's a balanced decision, Chairman. We've recommended approval, and we stand by that recommendation.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? No? Right, we shall move into debate. Does anybody wish to take this one? No? Councillor Hope, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Difficult one is this. I don't know the site, and I've sympathy with the speaker that we had. I can see where it's coming from. Maybe should have asked in the questions that the highway has objected on the access there.
It's not the first time they've made that. Sort of expressed that concern about the use of the drive at the end there, but they are also cognizant that having made those comments in the past, this council hasn't shared that view. So in making their recommendation, they've maintained that professional position, but they've also gone on to suggest that if the council is nevertheless minded to grant permission, what we ought to add in the way of conditions. So So they've done that as they've done in previous examples.
As I say, I'm concerned as well against, you know, other developments coming up with the same similar thing. If I pass one, where do you go? So I'm afraid at the minute I'm going to sit on the fence on this one. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody else wish to speak? I will say that I do appreciate that it doesn't totally comply with policy SP2 with regards to open countryside, but it is adjacent to other dwellings in the locality. I do feel that it would actually enhance the building that is there, and we are talking, it is just adjacent to the development limits, albeit outside. Both the proposed dwelling and the existing one do have large curtilages. I do feel it is a traditional building. I'm happy to see that there is a local occupancy condition on the property, and I am happy to support and move approval of the recommendation. Does anybody else? Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, it is another balanced decision, isn't it? I will second your proposal. And I would add, I wouldn't add much to what you say other than that it does, it's a well-screened property, it's an existing property, it's not as if we're talking about a new property or a new build. It is a balanced decision, and I will on balance support the proposal.
Thank you. Does anybody else, Councillor Windus?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think my way of looking at it is if we were to refuse this application, that building would still be there. So, I mean, I would rather see a building like this converted for a local rather than refuse it. So I'll support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Right, it has been moved and seconded for approval, so I will put that to the vote.
I'm abstaining, Chairman, because I only came in halfway through the debate.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. The application has been approved. Agenda item 15 is any other business, and at this point I believe we have to set a date for the site visit.
Normally 2 weeks from today,
which would make it the 27th.
Yes.
I'll just wait to see. It's the run up to Easter. Yeah, to Easter. I'll just wait to see that Councillor Joy Andrews is the.
Oh, we're doing planning a hearing here that day, Chairman, but I'm sure Rachel will deal with it. Upper Helmsley? Yes.
Are we all happy with the 27th of March? And are we going for a
bit of time to suit yourself, really, Jen?
9:30 or 10 o'clock, which is best for everybody? 10 o'clock. It's halfway through the day.
Yeah.
10 o'clock. Right, that's lovely. Agenda item 16 is a list of applications determined under delegated powers, pages 249 to 255. Agenda item 17 is the appeals record. Gary, is there anything you'd like to say on those?
Yes, there would have been two, Chairman.
Oh, sorry, Councillor Goodwin.
There would have been two appeals, Chairman, but the inspector had put the wrong planning reference on one, so we had to send it back, which we did win. But this one at Middle Cave Ride Drive is a little disappointing, Chairman, in the sense that we have won others up there for smaller extensions than this, so it came as a bit of a surprise out of the blue. But sort of sometimes that's it with householder proposals, Chairman. You sometimes win ones that you don't expect and lose others that you don't expect to lose. So it is what it is. The agricultural compound at Lakeside Way Norton,
which is the residential development one, which was the site that we were dealing with last committee with the cladding. That was the residential development, which I think, to use a flooding analogy, sank without a trace.
Lovely, that concludes the agenda. I'd like to thank you all for attending, and all have a safe journey home. Thank you.